been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and Player.fm. We talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Joining me, as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
Where's the video?
We got.
I keep looking at the thing, and there's no video.
It is a beautiful night out. So
yes, it is.
We are outside. We are enjoying ourselves in the mobile studio this time around. So before we get into training camp, it's been about a week now. Let's talk about the whole Deflategate thing that's come out recently. So the Ravens.
What about it?
A bunch of emails came out that said that the Ravens tipped off the Colts, Indy, about check the pressure for the footballs, the special teams coach, and let them know. So a lot of stuff people have been saying that the Ravens tipped off the Colts since they had trouble in their game. The Ravens have refuted that, said that the emails are fake. They said that none of that ever happened, and Harbaugh reiterated nothing from the Ravens was told to the Colts before that game. The special teams coach talked to the Colts special teams coach and was pretty much just like, hey, you know, just be on the lookout. They didn't let us use the balls that we wanted. They used their own. But nothing about it being deflated, nothing, you know, to tip them off to do anything. Just kind of said one thing. So what's your thought? Do you think these emails are true? Do you think the Ravens are telling the truth? Because, I mean, to have something in writing and something electronically and dated, as far as I know, I mean, that has to be proof that they sent these, but I don't know how an email can be, you know, forged, I guess.
Like I said again, I deny any involvement whatsoever in this situation. No, I'm just kidding. with that all being said, this is an interesting situation, but how about this? Let's go straight to the tape here and just want to get a quote with Harbaugh said about it. I mean, he says, and quote, I'm open to answer any questions you have about it. We're not running from it, any of it. We've been honest from the beginning, end quote. And that was John Harbaugh. The Ravens have been forthright. And apparently from what I gather is there was an email sent, you know, between the GMs from the Ravens and Colts that and states that our special teams coach, Jerry Rosberg, called head coach Chuck Pagano. And basically what happens is he was open to share any concerns about kicking the balls too hard, self-deflation, but it said there were – I mean, it goes off on saying that preparing the balls, not too soft by deflation, but it says there was no talks about deflated football. So you can read between the lines. I kind of want to wash my hands of this because not to drag our team through the mud. We went through so with the Ray Rice situation, and we're really not involved in those kind of scandals. But, again, we were up there. We played the game before the Colts. It is what it is. It'll come to light. I don't think the Ravens did anything wrong in this instance.
The thing that I think everyone's talking about is not the fact that the Ravens could or
right.
could not have tipped them off, which if they were like, hey, heads up, this was a little fishy in our game, I have no problem with that. But if they did tip them off and for the last 6 months have been saying, oh, we had no involvement, we didn't do anything, we didn't do anything, that's a little – that's bad.
Absolutely.
Hopefully it doesn't come down to the Ravens being thrown under the bus saying that they've been lying for the last 6 months. I hope it doesn't come to that. I don't think it will. I think they're telling the truth. But, I mean, in this digital age we live in now, there's always a trail. And I feel as if you got to know that by now. Hopefully the Ravens are completely truthful in what they're saying.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think they are. Mm-hmm. But it's just crazy that, you know, things can be forged, things may not be. But I just want this Deflategate thing to go away.
To just deflate itself.
Yeah. Just,
wah, wah, wah.
You know, have Brady serve his 4 games and move on.
Which he will.
So, I mean, that's our involvement with Deflategate. Hopefully it's over soon. And I got Harbaugh. I think he's a trustworthy guy. When he says it didn't happen, I think it doesn't. It didn't happen. But
that's right.
Hopefully, this will all go away. So let's get into training camp. Have you been watching any other sports shows talking about the Ravens, or have you been listening to any other radio broadcasts out there talking about the Ravens?
I have.
Let me just say, I was so pumped up for training camp. I was watching everything I could. And the first day, I got, like, you know, baited into watching commercials. And it was like, what happened to Perryman? Is this injury going to hurt him? Is this going on? Is it going on? Back after the break. And then they were back and like, yeah, you know, he was looked at the first day, but he'll be back tomorrow. And I'm like, why are you scaring people, man?
Guy, I mean, well, the media does that. But, again, these injuries are, like, normal. Elvis DeMerville with his tendonitis. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's going to get over that. He'll be back on the field. The injury is going to happen. I mean, these guys, and I had a good discussion this week, and it follows up with conditioning. General, Ray Lewis, rarely hurt. He had two major injuries in his career, 2005 and 2012. Slash year, torn tricep. The torn tricep, that was science at best. A push and a pull, opposite directions, tear a muscle. Ray Lewis was rarely injured, and you know why? And he played every down. It's conditioning. And Ray said that before. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing the great Ray Lewis here, but he's always said that conditioning goes hand-in-hand with injuries is, you know, if you condition properly throughout the offseason, you're not going to have these injuries. And what's happening is these guys are taking it for granted. Oh, I'm going to go out there, and they finally go out full speed and put the pads on, and they pull something, they tweak something. I mean, you've seen it here with Arian Foster, the Houston Texans. Pulls a groin, have surgery, out for a while. So, and Matt Elam's injury, that's, you know, again, that's not conditioning.
We're going to come back to him.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to come back to that because I got something to say about it. But Perryman's fine. Day-to-day knee, it's fine. You know, people are always going to flip out and go, oh, my God, our first pick, and he's already not going to pan out because he's hurt. Calm down. You know, the pros and cons are there. He's got the dropsies, that's a con. Pros, he's got speed. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned at all with the injuries. Obviously, the Elam injuries, it speaks for itself. But again, guys, calm down. It's only a little minor. It can happen in a game.
Yeah, I've tried to stay away from a lot of the news stuff ever since, like, I got baited into watching those commercials. But, like, the first day, everyone was talking about Webb. Webb was the big name because he didn't pass the conditioning test.
Right.
Well, it's the first day of training camp. Like, a lot of guys potentially could miss that conditioning test, and the next day they pass it and they're fine. You know, it's just the way of the game. So even though training camp is a lot of fun and it gets you prepped for football and everything, the true test is not going to come until the regular season starts. And this is a way of the coaches for them to look at these guys and be like, this guy potentially could do good in the NFL. This guy could do the regular season. So, like, everybody out there, like, don't go crazy. Don't already make up who you think's going to be that roster in September, because we still got a month and we got four preseason games to play.
Four, yep.
And this first week is just, you know, some guys can really light it up. Remember Bobby Rainey? I thought he was making the team immediately, and then nothing.
And then now he's a household name in Tampa Bay.
Where
now we know who he is.
Yeah.
And he's in line for a possible starting job down there. So it happens.
Yeah. There's guys, Omar Brown, Shockey Brown, guys that, you know, did make some noise eventually, but, like, when we saw him in the preseason, I figured they'd be playing.
Kerry Williams,
yeah.
Made a name for himself, won Super Bowl with us, and then went to the Eagles.
Yeah. But, like, seeing these guys in training camp, there's a good possibility you don't see them for a while.
Yep.
You know, so a lot of these names you're getting used to in this first week, you might not see them. They might go practice squad, if anything.
And which happens, because, I mean, you got to cut the rosters down to 53, as you know. Mm-hmm. So the best 53 make it. And it's not like baseball where they're always calling people up and sending them back down. It's you're cut, you're finding a new team. Unless they're still free agent and we have injuries and we welcome them back, that's happened on rare occasions. But for the most part, and that's, again, why I love preseason, because these guys are fighting for their jobs, as you know. And we get to see our roster take form and go, these are the best 53 we're taking in battle, offense, defense, special teams, and we're going forward with it. And I really can't wait to see how it plays out. And we're recording 9 days out. For preseason game number one. Obviously, we'll break that down next week and what you need to look out for. But it's a home game against the Saints, you know, and everybody's at practice. I wasn't able to make the practice due to work concerns. I wouldn't be able to make it. But from what I hear, this is impressive. Just think about this. Baltimore in general, and this is obviously before the Ravens, has been known as a baseball town, O's town, this is Orioles town. The Ravens have overtaken that. Everybody said this is Ravens town. It's a football town. And your locals have their arguments. You know, this is still a football town. Or no, I should say this is still a baseball town. No, it's a football town. Still, birds are birds. You know, they're birds of a feather flock together, my point. And the way the Orioles have been playing lately since under Buck Showalter, the Orioles have been contention. It's great. But with that being said, how does this speak? 22,111 fans show up for a practice.
That's more
on
than
a Monday that, night.
That's more than some NFL teams night. Get in the regular season.
Exactly. That's most NBA arenas are filled to capacity. Mm-hmm. 22,000, that's an NBA arena.
You go see the Capitals.
That's a hockey
play.
Game. That's yeah. right. That's a I hockey think, game in Verizon Center.
I think they're 18,000 for the hockey game.
Just imagine that. Yeah. Just imagine going to Verizon Center, seeing a sold out Caps game, and imagine. Yeah, I know it looks a lot scarce and scattered when you put 22,000 people in a 70,000 stadium or seat stadium, and it doesn't look like it, but that's impressive.
Yeah,
for a free practice for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and obviously I would have been one of them if I was down there. But from what I hear, it was a great turnout. I mean, I've heard some reactions and a lot of great feedback. I actually heard a lot of great things happen during practice.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Joe Flacco sharp. I heard Steve Smith looked younger. I don't know how that's possible, but hey, turn back the clock, Steve Smith. Kamar Aiken shined.
Yeah.
And I heard Justin Tucker just pretty much nailed it. 64 yards, dude. 64 freaking yards.
That dude, I mean, we got very right. lucky getting him, but man... He's money. The guy. He's the guy we count on.
That's why he does that money. He's money, man.
Yeah.
I was in Detroit when he kicked that 61-yarder. The dude can make them.
Yeah.
That dude knows.
And from what I've seen, like,
it's impressive.
I got to work the practice when it was at one of the local universities. I got to go to one of the first practices that they started doing at the Castle.
Right.
Usually, like, as the team's winding down, they put Tucker out there and just have him going every 10 yards.
To I see, remember like, that. Yeah, so, to like, see where he makes it.
10, 20, mm-hmm. 30. So, like, he's like the finale, you know, for people to see because everybody's watching Tucker to see how much he can do. So they're just letting him, like, try it, see what's going to happen. So, like, 64 yards, that's pretty amazing. Again, it's not game day pressure or whatever, but
no,
for him to just be able to do that, I mean.
It's amazing. And for our team needs and what could happen, who knows? I mean, if we need some of that in regular season,
mm-hmm.
heck, man, I'll take it. I'll take. I mean, it would suck if we had to kick 6-yard field goals and not get touchdowns. But if we're in a position where we need a game winner or a game tire or we need to sway some points, I'm fine with that, especially for the end of the halves when if you get two or three plays down the field and have Justin Tucker line up for a 59, 62-yard field goal,
yeah.
We can get three free points out of that.
It'll be very interesting to see how much Tucker's used this year, given the fact that there's a new offensive coordinator.
Right.
Because with last year's Gary Kubiak, he was allergic to that end zone. He could not, once he got into the red, it was, you know, oh, we're going to run it.
Right,
oh, that didn't
right.
work, we're going to run it again. That didn't work, we're going to run it again. And, of course, there comes Justin Tucker.
They did that last year. I can't remember. I think it was the Chargers game because I said that would have caught, and it did. It cost us the game. They had first and goal, and they ran the ball 3 out of 4 times, and they got cute and tried to play action on second down, missed it, and they ran the ball the next 2 times and did not get in.
Yeah.
That was appalling to me.
So with our new offensive coordinator, let's see how he works with Flacco. I mean, as much as I love Tucker, this is the kind of stuff you talk about in preseason.
Right.
With this new offensive coordinator, potentially Tucker's value to us could go down because of the new offensive coordinator. Not taking anything away from him, and I'm very happy to have him as our kicker, but, I mean, it's interesting to think about. With a new offensive coordinator, the need for Tucker may go up or it may go down.
You think so?
Depending.
Tucker's money, though.
I want him on this team because you call on him and you can count on him.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, this guy might get along with Flacco a little better. He potentially could. He knows the way the Flacco wants to play. So Flacco might be getting into that end zone more.
Like you're saying, we better be scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
I see your end game.
Yeah.
Now, and that's what happened last year. We were anemic to the red zone and freaking killed us every time.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of red zone, I heard the Ravens actually invited, you know, speaking of red zone in the NFL Network fame, Brian Billick actually was at practice, former Ravens head coach, Super Bowl 35 head coach champion. Harbaugh had some good things to say about, you know, former Coach Billick, and he actually spoke to the team for a good 5 minutes after the practice. I would love to know what was being said in that in those 5 minutes, but I heard it was a great speech.
Yeah.
He spoke to the team, and that was great. Harps to allow, you know, not only the media member, but, you know, former head coach of ours do that,
in
not only any other player, but in Harbaugh's stead. But it's pretty interesting to see, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited, and I think it fired up the team. I not only that, but I heard what happened down in practice. Kamar Aiken shined.
Mm-hmm.
That is great for the receiving corps.
Yeah.
Just like I said, I really can't wait to see preseason to see this guy full speed.
Mm-hmm.
Kamar Aiken's probably one of my favorites right now, unsung hero.
He did a great job
last year.
I mean, you really saw him gelling very well with Flacco towards the end of the year. So, I mean, for me, he's the guy that's kind of leading the charge for the second wide receiver. Steve Smith, of course, being your number one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Perryman, hopefully he's okay and he can perform in front of the crowds and do everything. But Kamar Aiken's got to be the one leading the pack right now. Especially, let's talk about this too. Marlon Brown, a guy who you and I talked about immensely now. This is the third season we'll be talking about him, about how good he is. We saw him in that Minnesota game 2 years ago, and we talked about how he got misused last year. He had to go get an MRI today for potential like nerve problems he's having, like a nerve damage type of thing. So for let me ask you this, for a team that has so many wide receivers right now, and for a guy who potentially is on the bubble to get that second line or the second job,
right,
this can't come at a worse time for him.
No.
I gotta say, because if he's having these problems, like you said, next man up, somebody's going to be there to take his spot.
So, and that's how it's going to be. As soon as I heard that, it's next man up. And I heard, how about Kedrick Lewis taking the reins and the leadership role in that position and in the secondary. Not only and you're going to see that, and you're going to see people step up. Will Hill stepped up and you know, said. So, I mean, you're going to see players stepping up, and that's always been the case. What happened when Pitta went down last year, next man up, where Crockett Gilmore come out of it.
Yeah.
You know, Owen Daniels ended up being a formidable tight end for us, and now he's going on to Denver and follow Kubiak out the door. So, you know, with that being said, that's the Ravens mantra, next man up. There's a book about it. It happened in Super Bowl year. It was next man up. Happened everywhere. It happened when Ray Lewis went down. Happened when Webb went down.
Mm-hmm.
Happened when Jimmy Smith goes down. It's just you got to count on these guys. Sometimes it might not get us over the hump where if we had Jimmy Smith healthy, we would have been the Super Bowl. But the fact that we got carried that far with what we have makes you that much more exciting when these guys are going. And not to say Elam wasn't a role player, but he was coming off a down year, his second year at campaign, his sophomore year, and I really like to see him improve. I was really hoping he would be the player that we were hoping for this year, and unfortunately we're not get to see it.
Yeah.
Wish him well with some speed recovery. But, again, there was a 32nd pick in 2013, on injured reserve right now. So hopefully he comes back. But in all due respect, this is an injury where torn bicep, Ray Lewis had a torn tricep and came back in way shorter amount of time than anybody anticipated.
Yeah.
So, again, we're expecting him to miss. If it's not a big chunk of the remainder of the season, it's going to be all of the season unless we get all the way to the Super Bowl.
I mean, this is pretty early already, and for Pitta to come back from a hip and not even be out an entire year.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a chance Matt Elam does come back. And is
I would believe so. But it happened early.
Let me ask you this about Matt Elam. Like you said, had a down year last year. Is he really doing anything bad for the team by being on the bench? Because, yeah, he's talented, but is he worth that spot on the field?
It's a very good question. it's tough because he had a good, I would say, good year. I'm not going to say decent. I'm not going to say awesome. Good rookie year. But he had a down second year. So he got
to
step back.
They moved him too, right?
They did.
Yeah.
They did. So it's kind of like
he had to adjust to it, and he didn't adjust very
benefit
well.
Benefit of the doubt. So that's why I'm kind of like, let's see. I would have say when he comes back, let's see if he can earn it. I wouldn't cut him just yet.
Mm-hmm.
See if he can earn it. Earn his stripes.
I mean, we'll
got to let him go. Got to give him the chance.
Yeah, we'll see what he does. But, I mean, for him not being able to play, good. Best of luck to him. Hope he gets better. But that might not be the worst thing for this team, and I hate to say it like that.
And I'm telling you what, Lewis might be one of my new favorites because he's just – the dude's been a leader, and he's just showing these guys how it's done, and I'm really impressed to see that, especially a new player coming in. You don't really see that often. I know Steve Smith kind of does it because he's the veteran presence on the receiving core, and it's expected quote unquote, out of the veterans. But when you just see him coming in and just, you know, he puts on that purple and black and just like, so let's go.
He lives it, man.
Oh, he loves it.
Yeah.
Just seeing it in his demeanor and the way he, his press conferences, the dude's made for this.
So if you know Steve Smith Sr. has the SR on his jersey, did mm-hmm. you notice that Will Hill now has 3 on the back?
Yes.
He's Hill and then yep. 3, and he's got the 3 guys there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just something. He didn't have that last year. I just thought that was kind of...
it was kind of a little interesting. Maybe yeah. it's to really say, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe separate yourself. And I think I think Smith, it's kind of like funny because you know how... Torrey was on the team last year, maybe, and think that's why maybe Steve. That's why everybody was saying, well, that's why Steve did that to differentiate himself. So you yeah. know, senior, because obviously his son's, you know, he's senior because his yeah. son's junior.
Yeah.
So, I think it's in there too his motivation because he's 36. Everybody's like, oh, you're 36, you're washed up. I think he leaves there as motivation. Say, you think I'm a senior? Watch me.
Yeah.
So I think he does it part that. Part motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Part yeah. motivation. So I think that's why.
If you notice, across the street over at Target, they got Joe Flacco and Steve Smith jerseys for sale. So, like, he made a name for himself very quickly.
He did.
And became one of the guys that everybody wants to wear on it.
Well, that and a fan favorite and, you know, media favorite as well. And, mm-hmm. and he's very scrappy. And all the Ravens are fearful. Actually, they interviewed several Ravens and go, who do you not want to see an alien fight, Steve Smith?
Yeah,
Stephen came number one answer. Yeah. I was like, you do not want to be stuck in there with that dude. Nah, and I can see why.
Yeah,
young, he's very little and scrappy, and hey, ice up, son. We know what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
We know
absolutely.
He
and he had a great catch, not at the stadium practice, but just one of the regular practices they put on their website. Did a little slow mo, and it was a one handed catch.
Yeah, it was great. You know,
Joe Flacco throwing it up high, tall guy throwing it up high. Steve Smith, little guy,
mm-hmm.
one handed catch, brings it to the body, falls down. Was able to get the pass and get it completed.
Awesome. Speaking of slow-mo, how about the upgrades? Did you see them? The stadium?
I was checking it out. We were checking it out right before we started recording. They've added in tons of Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Like how many?
I got it right here.
Fiber do they put in that place?
Fiber to get in your daily lifetime. Yeah.
You and I have been to the games before, man. Trying to get on the Wi-Fi, well, not only getting on it, but actually doing anything while using it.
Yes,
insane, impossible.
Well, especially when you're a fantasy guy like me
uh-huh.
and want to check all your fantasy teams and stats, and
see,
especially during.
Tweet.
Yeah, well, I try to too, but yeah. me being so involved in the game and half the time with my outfit, I don't get to take my phone in because
you got no
where
pockets.
To put it. Exactly. So, and people who haven't seen my outfit, yeah, I really have no pockets. I'm pretty much a football player.
Uh-huh.
I shove my ticket in my sock and in any cash I need. Like, I'll just take a 20 and shove it in my shoe. Like, I'm weird, but that's just how I go game day unless
yeah.
it's in the middle of winter and I can have pockets. But, and it's beside the point. But anyway, your question, 800 new Wi-Fi antennas.
Woo!
800. Because, and that was the whole thing. And it's not only that, but you want to improve the game day experience for
mm-hmm.
fans and, with digital media, 2015, you want to tweet, you want to post, you want to take that selfie at the stadium, you want to post it, you want to take
yeah.
live video and post it right on your feed, and you can't really do that. It's tough.
No.
And then with put it this way, 70,000 fans with a cell phone device in their hand trying to access the same network
at the same time, man,
it gets crazy.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really love the Steam Echo. They're looking out for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but we saw this 3D, it's 3D, but it's called free, F-R-E-E, free, like our show, free. It's
right.
like free. Say free.
It's all free.
It's all free.
It's all free.
Yeah. Like it's your freedom, favorite word.
Freedom of speech.
Freedom. Free. Nice. I'm getting too carried away with that. Anyway, 3D, it actually shows you a replay of all angles. So, like, they'll show the play and actually do the camera, like, do a 180, 360. It's actually all around.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty legit. I can't wait to see it live in the stadium next Thursday.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
That should be cool. Yeah, so, like, a play happens, and as the NFL's reviewing it,
mm-hmm.
the fans can review it as well.
So you can really see the toes are in bounds, that
yeah.
the ball's in the hands. I really can't wait to see it.
I mean, best example that you and I got to see was that Minnesota game. I love that Minnesota game. But that last play, they were like, is Marlon Brown in or not? His footprints were in the snow
yeah.
in the end zone, and they zoomed
cool
in on
that.
So we're like, hey, no question. He got it, you know.
I remember that game, man. Wasn't that crazy?
That's all I think about. When they're like,
you remember my reactions? I was like humped over the seat.
Oh, yeah.
Who can't do this anymore?
I just remember picking up the flag that I brought in and bending it because it froze. I mean, that was a cold day, man. But
it was a great day.
Yeah, that was
great day.
Such a good day.
Tailgating, it snowed.
Uh-huh.
Got in the stadium. throwing snowballs.
That was great. It was a great time.
Then Jacoby running up and down the field, and and then
Marlon Brown getting that final touchdown.
The rolling motion of that game, I'll never forget it.
I
remind that like Super Bowl. Like it was like, yeah. No, yes, no. Because not that the Super Bowl is back, but at the second half it wasn't. And obviously when we at the end of the game,
yeah.
High anxiety, man.
The final 2 minutes of that game made the whole game, because the whole game is pretty boring.
Pretty much.
That game was really boring until like the last 2 minutes.
I mean, it was a snow game.
Down the field.
Couldn't really move the ball.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Because I'd never been a part of a real snow game.
That was
I mean, snow during a game, but not like that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was tons of fun. But you know what they could do to upgrade M&T Bank Stadium and make me really happy?
Another upgrade? You're going to make our season tickets go up.
You know what? I don't have season tickets, so that's fine.
Oh,
up in the high rise.
What you got?
The cheap seats. Just give us some better bathrooms.
Where I'm at.
Yeah, let's get some better bathrooms.
I really
up
don't
there,
care.
Man. They are so like in the
you
winter.
You sound like a diva right now.
In the winter,
you
they are
you sound like
freezing.
A diva.
That's
and
fine.
And I know you're ignoring me.
That is
you
fine.
You sound like a true diva.
I need
new bathrooms. I need new.
You know, like there's like four urinals. Like,
yeah, I
at
understand.
Least give us like eight.
I understand. That's why I'm kind of like I pick and choose my spots.
Uh-huh.
And I do all my eating and drinking during tailgating because.
Well, you go through like four Mountain Dews. I don't know how
I
you hold it that whole time.
Yeah, well, true. Yeah.
Especially those Red Bulls. I mean, they like friggin' they go right through me, man.
Do they?
Yeah. Like I drink one. I'm
no
like.
No wonder you need a bathroom.
Yeah, I'm in the bathroom like 20 minutes later.
Man.
All right, so now that everybody knows about my bathroom habits.
I was going to say.
Hey, how's everybody in Sweden doing?
Is everybody still there?
Everybody over in England?
You didn't turn us out?
We don't like the bathrooms.
But yeah, but the bathrooms at M&T are prestigious. That should be the next upgrade, though.
The lower level are great.
Of course, because it's a premium ticket.
Yeah, the higher ones, they don't. Yeah.
I really don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I just need a place to just release. I don't care.
You just need a cup.
I've done that. You
won't even
I have done that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not ashamed. Give me a cup. Give me that beer cup. Give me that souvenir cup.
And then
let's
chuck
go to
it
town.
As a Steelers fan. Nah, that'd be mean.
That's not a bad idea.
That'd be really mean, though. Happened to Mick Foley coming to the ring once, but
yeah, but
that's Philly. That's a Philly crowd.
Oh, and we heard they're voted worst in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They ain't won nothing, and they trash talk.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
I hate that.
So anything else we should talk about, you know, this week, first week of training camp?
I'm just happy to be wearing Ravens gear, and it's August, and we're 8 days away from football.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a buzz, man. I'm glad to be back. This is the first month without football until February. Yeah.
Well,
so I can't wait.
Last question here, since we do have a game coming up next week.
Sure.
Preseason game, day of, jersey or no jersey? Is it prestigious enough to wear a jersey? Because I save mine for game day.
Are you kidding me right now?
Is preseason enough for a – will it signify
a jersey?
You're
about to get the wrath of me. Well, I'm not – well, here's the thing. I'm not going full gear because
– because it's preseason,
no,
right?
No. I did that last year. No. Right. I will for the third game because they play the Redskins at home, I believe.
Oh, screw them.
And it is the third preseason game, which means the starters play the whole first half, usually into the second half. But the reason being is because I'll be coming from work, and I'm going to be arriving late to the game, so by the time I get ready, it'll be well into the third quarter.
Right.
So I'm actually not going to be red contacts on the first game. I'm not going to be football helmet, football pants. I'm pretty much going to be in a jersey, jeans, and my Ravens hat, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
There's really not much more I can do. I'll be pumped. But pretty much, I mean, being that it's a 7:30 game, and I'm gonna get there at 8:30. I'm not worried. But no, jersey better be on.
Jersey's
this is wartime. It's game time.
Okay.
Jobs are on the line.
All right. I got a white flag.
I'm sorry,
jersey.
Everybody out there. I mean, he didn't really mean that.
Hey, it's
jersey
not.
For
it's pre- not for me. It's for the listeners, because they need to know. They need to know what to do.
But our listeners should know this by now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're Ravens Nation faithful. I mean, we're worldwide. Prestige worldwide.
It's true.
We got coast to coast, continents. We're all right. Sweden. Sweden's in the house. I know listening. We have the UK out there.
They do.
We have it all.
Oh, yeah. When my lights went
what
out.
What are you doing?
When my lights went out. I can't
I'm
see.
So glad
it's
we don't have video
out.
Because you're so fidgety today.
It's dark out.
You scared? You scared?
Yeah, we're in a bad neighborhood.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I will set the stage. We are in a shopping center district sitting in front of a Chipotle restaurant.
They have knives
There's
in
a
there.
Gym behind us, which has a lot of people working out in
heavy
it. Heavy
stuff to hit people with.
The gym's open 24 hours. We have a nice major highway right here. We're not like in some Rinky Dink Dundalk Shopping Center. I'm from Dundalk, or my family's from. We can make fun of it. Hey, we're all from that area. Plus, I worked there for like 3 years of my life, so I'm allowed to. If I was employed down there, I'm allowed to make fun of them.
Man,
it's Dundalk. Anybody out there in Dundalk? Again, what comes out of my mouth, you never know. But it's all good, Dundalk. I was always joking. See who claims the towers down there.
Uh-huh.
I never understand that. Who claims it? Do you know who claims it down there?
Well, 98 Rock used to do a thing where there was a football game.
And
the loser had to claim it.
It was the toilet bowl, literally toilet bowl.
Yeah, we're close enough. So we're like the tank to the toilet bowl right now where we're at.
Yeah, but it always stunk down there, man. I don't know.
So, all right, so I've been thinking, like, if Max Williams makes this team, okay, and I say, Josh, should we cover everything? You can say, oh, we covered it to the max.
Dude, my man, right there, my man, covered it to the max. I love it.
All right.
He's going to make the team. Dude, he's going to make the team.
If he makes it, then we can start doing that.
He will make it.
Suns got into it at the stadium practice. Kind of a little welcome to the NFL.
I saw that.
So, Suggs, you know, being the veteran that he is, you know, messing with some people, so we'll see what happens. But all right, so I think we covered everything. I mean, I think we're good to go.
To the max. We covered it to the max. I like this.
All right, well,
I like this.
If you guys want to continue the conversation, talk to Josh or I. It's real easy to get in touch with us. We are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And where can people tweet to you?
They can always tweet to me at Italian GQ52.
All right, very cool. So we got plenty to talk about. We got plenty more to cover next week. There's going to be the first preseason game next week, so we'll be back for that. Make sure you tell us what you guys think. Tweet to us. You can check out BrandoCash.com for all the information you're ever going to need about this show and any other shows or anything else that we do here. You can go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Also, like The Call Podcast on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. That way you know whenever a new show comes out. Easiest thing to do if you want to know when a new show comes out is to subscribe to us. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and Player.fm. Plenty of different ways to listen to us. You just sign in, click subscribe. Now, we talked about it last week. This is still available. If you guys dig the song that is at the beginning of our podcast,
right,
you guys can get the full thing, the full song. All you got to do is write us an iTunes review. Go over to iTunes, give us 5 stars, give us 1 star, write us a little review. Take a screen grab from your phone or your desktop. Email it to me, brandocashpods@gmail.com, and I will send you the full-length song to our intro. It uses words from the Nevermore, the Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, and it's from a local band here in Maryland, so some stuff to think about, guys. So definitely help us out and spread the word. And let people know, be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I'm excited for preseason football. I listen to The Call. They're getting me ready. And you should listen, too. So that's pretty much it for The Call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. Can't wait to get it ramped up next week. We are at the bank starting next week. Preseason game number one. It's finally here. It's finally here, man. I really can't wait to get after it. We got to get some practices under the belt. We'll see how we come out. No injuries, knock on wood. Everybody's staying healthy. And we'll get after the Saints for a game plan. And we'll definitely be breaking down next week. So can't wait to get after it. But until then, really enjoy this week. And let's enjoy the last good weekend right before the football season really cranks up. So with that being said, right into the preseason week number one pending. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.